Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
It was really hot in the Pacific Northwest at the end of June. It was 116 degrees in Portland, 108 in Seattle, and 118 in British Columbia, all records outside of the historical trends. Climate change is the clear and obvious culprit, but 3 days of anomalous temperatures is not a drop in the bucket of the impending man-made climate catastrophe caused by capitalism. The national media spent a bunch of time and resources making fancy graphs and charts about historic temperatures, then showing the recent events as clear outliers. The presentation features this weird framing of empirical information as somehow neutral or devoid of political ramifications. Meanwhile, people are dying. Multnomah County, Oregon, which is where Portland is located, issued an 18-page preliminary report that's mostly graphics, analyzing the hyperthermia deaths of 54 individuals. Heat-related deaths cause hyperthermia, while cold-related deaths cause hypothermia. The report's main conclusion was that the lack of cooling or access to air conditioning was a key driver of mortality. The contrast then created by CNN running a literal death count cry-on on the Surfside condo collapse while completely ignoring the heat-related deaths in the Pacific Northwest is intentional. The causation of tragedy is often obscured when dealing with chronic violence because the root cause is not directly addressable without collective action, and making their neoliberal viewership aware of their participation in enacting state violence might cause them to be sad. And the sad viewer demographic is not sought by capital.
Which means that the priorities of sudden acute violence is much more appealing to the news cycle than chronic violence that turns into acute because it tips. You know, as we talk about the heat and we talk about homelessness, we talk about elderly, we talk about people who just are vulnerable. You know, the heat, weather is something that's always coming up because it's basically torture. It's torture until they die. I mean, sitting outside and baking until you die is a real fucked up thing. A collapse in which you're crushed and die instantly, that's fucked up too. But imagine being tortured because you don't have a place for shade because rich people own houses that are too big for them and they don't want you in them. I mean, that's fundamentally what it is. More people died again in the heat wave than from the building collapse. But again, it's the shock and awe. And I like that dumbass term because I think that's what Bush said. It's the shock of all of the sudden deaths, the acute violence that the media loves. It's not talking about, again, why are people dropping dead from the heat? We know why. It's capitalism. And they don't want to expose that.
And this is very similar to a statistic that is something like every 11 minutes, somebody dies lack of food. That's chronic violence, but it's spread out over a long period of time and nobody cares. But you get 250 bodies in Portland because it's hot and it's like, whoa, shit. That's observable. It's different than the expectation. So the media covers it. They talk about it. They say, wow, this is really bad. Who could have foreseen? What do we do about this? But they have no appetite to talk about the number of people that die because they don't have food.
It's because they know the answer.
And they're paid to not say the answer.
They're paid to scare you into thinking that you're going to get shot by walking down the street. You're going to be in Atlanta and get murdered instead of it being you're going to starve to death. You know, you see the statistics from that piece of shit neoliberal Feeding America or whatever it is, the Hunger, one they partner with like Walmart to feed you. Remember it was like Feeding America or some shit? It's a shithole organization because they don't address the actual issues, which is hunger. They address, put a bandage on it. They try to reduce the amount of pain you have. They don't try to actually end it. They partner with people like Walmart who just throw shit in the trash, but then they get to do a tax write-off saying, yeah, we gave them rotten cabbage and now they, you know, we get to save $10.
Minimizing suffering is profitable, but eliminating suffering is not profitable at all.
Curing cancer isn't profitable, treating it is. People have a fundamental understanding that in the medical field, treating something is worth more than curing it. It's the same for every single part of our needs triangle. I always forget that Maslow's?
Yeah.
Is it Maslow or Maslow?
Just say it more confidently, it's fine.
It's the same as every part of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Right, every single piece of this has been converted into profit, and because of that, you know, we have this fundamental inner gut and feeling and knowledge of what's happening, but we have no way of actually fighting it because it's all been monetized. Food, water, warmth, and rest, you have to pay for all that. Security and safety, you have to pay for all that, right? That one's a little bit tricky because it's more of a public thing. Belongingness and love needs, so intimate relationships and friends, guess what you can do? You can use an app for that. prestige, feeling, accomplishment, you have LinkedIn for that. And you also have Facebook, right? And then self-actualization, you go to therapy for that. Like, it's literally every part of your life you pay for. And so we go back to chronic and acute violence. It's literally because some people cannot afford every part of their needs. And they suffer for it.
In the long run, heat, which you said was one of the foundational requirements,
yep,
is actually what ends up killing people because they have too much heat. Heat refers to having livable conditions, effectively. You're in a dwelling that's not too hot, not too cold. You can maintain your body temperature. You have access to water, stuff like that. So when there's too much heat because it's too hot, that need is not met. When it's so hot, you die. It's acute violence. Your needs are not met to such a degree that you literally cease to continue to exist because one need of the several that you just listed fail.
And that is a fundamental distinction of the theory that we push forward here. Because we're not focusing on, in worker movement, that is, we're not focusing on, you know, trying to put the Band-Aid and carry you forward. We're focusing on the primary fundamental changes that are required so that we don't have chronic and acute violence because of capitalism. They manifest themselves in different ways, but in the end, people die. Or people just lose longevity of life, which is essentially stealing millions of lives every year. Right? Because now 6.5 billion people or 9, whatever that number is, I have no idea how many people are on Earth now. They all lose 4 years, right? We can do this math, or 3 years off their lifespan. I mean, that it's pretty straightforward thing. If you take a look at, like, let's say the United States has 380 million people, and we multiply that number by 4 years, and then we divide that by 76 as the average year, it's basically stealing the lives of 20 million people. Reducing the life expectancy of everybody by 4 years, or by holding it back, is like murdering 20 million people. Is that what capitalism does? It's quite literally stealing 20 million lives. If that sounds extreme, it's no different than people saying that, you know, communism killed 8.5 trillion people because of one Ukrainian bad drought, which was a dust bowl here in the United States, where you have literal caricatures of individuals living on trains and having a hobo stick. Same thing happened in the United States, quite literally.
But it was gritty and American, so it's fine.
The Oregon Trail. Sending people west to literally die.
Like, good luck. We hear there's an ocean out there. I hope you make it.
You're too poor, and you don't have any land. Well, we'll give you free land if you make it out west. Good fucking luck.
So another ramification of the heat wave in the Pacific Northwest is that it affects the food supply. And this is a bigger picture issue with climate change in general, where not only are people going to be directly affected by the climate because it's hot and humans can't live in extreme heat without basically infrastructure to keep them less hot, you have the food supply, which is directly predicated on agricultural production, literally growing food. And food doesn't grow very well when it's extremely hot and there's limited water resources. So as the Pacific Northwest got hit by a heat wave for a couple weeks, it depleted agricultural resources that will have a non-zero effect on the global food supply. Now, this isn't going to result in a trillion people starving or whatever, but there is going to be probably price increases, and that ripples. So if you were right on the edge of being able to afford a meal, suddenly you don't get all the calories that you need, and you're back towards this cycle where you don't meet one of your basic needs, which is food, and now you're subjected to chronic violence.
It's going to be like that for every single portion of the United States, not just for food, or not even this United States, but the world. So as climate change comes through and we get more rain in some areas and drought in others, right, food's going to have to go up. Production's going to have to change. And you're actually seeing some of the weirdest ramifications from this, in which you have growers in Italy and in Argentina who are buying land south or north, depending on what part of the hemisphere you're on, to actually combat climate change for wine growing, because it's so profitable. So it's almost as if the bourgeois already have, you know, their sin or their drinking, right, is already being taken care of.
So there's actually profit to be made in mitigating against climate change that in no way, shape, or form helps society, but actually just increases the ability of the PMC or the bourgeoisie class to continue to live their grand and glorious ruling class privileged lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, you have morons saying things like, you know, if you live by the water and the water and the sea level is rising, you can just sell your house and move. But like, who's going to buy your house if the water is rising?
I mean, that's the problem in Miami. Like, what the fuck are you going to do with a building that's about to collapse? Nobody wants to live there, presumably.
Presumably, right? New York's going to have climate change issues because more water is going to fall there. They're not ready for it. They just flooded the subway, right? Guess who's going to be trapped there? Will it be the rich? Will it be the PMC? No. It's going to be the worker. They're going to be trapped literally in cities they can't escape because you don't have money to move. You don't have transportation to get out of there. You don't have connections in the city. There's not enough housing for you. You quite literally can't leave. The one thing that panics me the most sometimes when I think about it is like the poor people who live on the island of Hawaii. They literally can't leave that island. They're trapped there. So think of the poor people that live in Hawaii as the poor people who live in any city in the United States. They actually don't have the resources to leave and go somewhere else. And that gets back to the fundamental issue with chronic violence, which is you get left behind. Because somebody else has the means to take care of themselves, and they make sure that you don't have the means, because that's how they get theirs.
And this is exactly what happened in the Pacific Northwest. If you're homeless, or you have vulnerabilities relating to health, or your residency status, and it gets hot, and it's too hot to sustain life, you don't have the means to just cut a check and move or buy air conditioning. There's no ability to self-correct this problem because you don't have money. And this problem is solvable basically only with money. You can't go to Home Depot, Lowe's, and buy an air conditioner without money.
You have to literally have money in the United States to do anything. That's just the way it is. Like, you can't solve your problem without money. So the only real way to solve the problem is to get rid of money, is to decommoditize everything we're talking about here. Housing, food, electricity, internet, phone, school, transportation, like literally everything. People are going to die so that people can have profits. But it's not the way that you think about it. There's not a mine owner who's going out and shooting all of their workers so they don't get paid. It's stealing it from you. It's stealing quality of life. It's stealing your time away, right? People are going to die from acute violence. They're going to die at 74 instead of 76 or 78, right? They're going to die in a car crash because they have to commute to work 200 days a year. Whatever it is, 250 days a year. So there's all this violence that happens because somebody wants to fly an airplane into low Earth orbit.
Bezos is at least launching a real rocket that could, like, conceivably deliver a payload somewhere, whereas the Virgin Galactic was just we're going to build a space glider and it's going to glide into, like, really low Earth orbit that has no industrial anything, and it's literally just for rich people.
Yep, fingers crossed.
And that was government funded. So instead of providing air conditioning to people in the Pacific Northwest, we spent money on the glider stunt. As a society, that's what we value.
Think about that, everybody. That's the budget went to these assholes to make space tourism. There's no utility in the ability to go low Earth orbit. Coming from somebody who understands microgravity physics.
The low Earth orbit, basically flying from point A to point B, is significantly less efficient than a normal, like, jet airplane built by Boeing that flies itself into the ground.
All taxpayer funded. It's all handouts. It's because it goes back to the first part of this episode. You as a taxpayer, let's just pretend that we're going to talk in neoliberalism here. You don't have the ability to actually fathom how much money is spent in the United States on just dumb shit.
And it's all conjured out of thin air, too. So, like, it's not like we're making decisions to allocate some finite amount of money. We're just arbitrarily making money and handing it out. But we could make arbitrary money and hand it out to air conditioners, too, but we don't.
Here's a myth that pisses me off, and it makes me nuts. People think that if everything is free, people are just going to run and grab everything, okay? And that is true, initially. Because people who are poor have it in their head for survival to basically get as much as they can because that's how they can survive, right? But if everybody has an air conditioner, there's no actual market for an air conditioner.
There's no black market for stealing Freon from an air conditioner because everybody has one.
So what I'm getting at is you make them all available and yeah, people are going to come and take more than they need initially. But eventually, they won't be able to.
They won't have a need to.
Their needs will be met. That is fundamentally the difference in the thought process. And this is what it comes down to. If your needs are being met, you don't actually need to be extreme when it comes to things like free food or handouts or things that you need for survival that someone else is giving you. You just know you have to take more than what you actually need because that's a survival instinct. Literally a survival instinct. Right? And that's what we've reduced people to. That's the other fucked up part.
So in most cases, violence is perpetuated by an inability to meet basic needs.
That's what it is, 100%. That's the only way it really can be talked about. We have acute and chronic violence that capitalism does to people, right? And we have generally broken windows crime that the workers have to do in order to meet their basic needs. Are there psychopaths that go out and kidnap kids? Yes. But most kidnappings are because of parental arguments. It's someone you know taking a kid, not a rando off the street, right? Most thefts are because people need their basic needs being met, right? Most violence is because of frustrations that they don't know how to deal with. It's like helplessness.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.